Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:18 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is March 7th. Well, yesterday was characterized by a pretty stiff decline across a whole range of markets. Today, we had a little bit of a reprieve. The majority were pretty steady. Perhaps the weakest was in Australia. That was probably follow through from the declines of Rio Tinto and BHP yesterday. They were both a little bit steadier in here today. The ASX has got a heavy weighting of those, is heavily weighted by both Rio and BHP. The weighting of the four large banks is probably about the same in the index. But the banking sector hasn't been particularly healthy either. So the ASX 200 has pulled back sharply in the last couple of days. It's probably going to be a little bit firmer tomorrow. But it needs to rally fairly impressively in the next few days to really indicate that demand is returning to dominance in here, because it's broken the short-term progression of higher reaction lows, and it's been eroding support. And the market has been ranging for much of the last year with a mild upward bias. The short-term progression of higher reaction lows suggested that demand was dominant in the medium term. It really does need to rally rather well in the next couple of days to suggest that the market is back on a medium-term upward trajectory. The Indian market has also pulled back sharply in the last few days. It's testing the 200-day moving average following, I suppose this has been an unwind of a short-term overbought condition following a really impressive advance all the way through January and much of February. The banks index was a little bit more positive today, and the rupee was a bit firmer against the US dollar. There isn't a great deal of evidence just yet that the market is finding support in the current level. The area of the 200-day moving average represents a potential area of support, but a clear upward dynamic would really be required to suggest that demand is returning in this area. The majority of other Asian markets were reasonably steady in here today, and that is a testament to their relative strength generally. This continues to be a dynamic area, and certainly when one looks at some of the more developed markets in Asia, such as Singapore, then valuations are certainly not expensive on a PE basis, and the dividend yields in Singapore in particular are competitive with just about anywhere. Majority of markets in Europe were in positive territory today. Italy was probably the best of them, up over 1%, while the Spanish market was mildly in negative territory. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones closed up about 0.2%, the S&P reasonably similar, and the Nasdaq was up about 0.8% on the composite. Brazil was up today by about 1%, so a generally firm tone, or at least a steady tone following a big decline yesterday for the majority of these markets. It does help to bolster the contention that what we're getting is an unwind of the short-term overbought condition. We'll need some additional evidence to confirm that hypothesis. But the fact that we've had central banks changing their tack over the last couple of months should contribute to less volatility than we've seen in the last year, particularly between August and October. And that would be very much in line with our cyclical bull market hypothesis. So while there are continued short-term risks to the downside in stock markets, nothing has really happened to question the medium-term bullish hypothesis in stocks. In the commodity complex today, gold was a bit steadier, in line with the firm tone in equity markets. It was stronger today by about $10. It needs to do substantially more to demonstrate that it is finding support now in the region of the 200-day moving average, where it's only, I think, it's less than $20 away from the MA today. The silver market was stronger by about 60 cents. Palladium was up by about 14. Platinum up about 20. So it's cut into the decline yesterday, but it hasn't countermanded. It hasn't countermanded it in either of those cases. Oil was up by about $1.50 on West Texas and up over $2 on Brent crude, and that did countermand yesterday's decline. You have had a short-term loss of consistency on that Brent crude market. It's unwinding the short-term overbought condition. It encountered resistance in the region of a previous high. But so far, it doesn't look like anything more than an unwind of the overbought condition. And it really would need to pull back and pull back sharply and hold the decline to really question the medium-term bullish outlook. I think that there is a risk that if we see markets pull back further, that oil is going to pull back a little bit further. But it's entirely too steady for comfort. And that really is the only credible threat to the cyclical bull market hypothesis. If we do see an additional spike higher in crude oil prices, that is going to have an impact on the global economy and on the stock market generally. Oil is a threat in terms of inflationary pressures. Now, when we look at the continuous commodity index, which is equal weighted, then it's been trending lower for the last year. It encountered resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average in the last few weeks, and it's pulling back from that level. Because the index is unweighted, oil doesn't have a particularly large influence on its direction. Now, when one looks at the CRB index, that is quite heavily weighted by oil, so it doesn't show the same decline. At least part of the reason that the CCI is pulling back is because a number of the soft commodities have been quite weak, and the industrial metals certainly haven't been setting the world on fire. They were all a little bit stronger in here today, but they do need to do really substantially more to suggest that demand is returning to dominance in the medium term. Of particular note is Arabica coffee. It's been accelerating lower. Just like when we see something accelerating to the upside, and the more it accelerates, the greater the risk that it is going to pull back and begin to revert towards its mean, which we use the 200-day moving average to represent. It's exactly the same on the downside. And Arabica coffee is accelerating lower. It's becoming increasingly overextended relative to the 200-day moving average, and the risk of a bounce is becoming increasingly likely the further that it declines. There isn't a great deal of evidence yet that it has hit a bottom, but it's probably not that far off it, given the speed with which it's declining at present. The grains and beans were also a little bit softer in here today, as was sugar and cocoa. The US dollar was a little bit weaker in here today, but not by a great deal. It certainly didn't countermand the strength that we had yesterday. What we saw in here for the majority of markets was at least a pause. What we're not seeing at present are consecutive days on the downside where you're getting big downward dynamics. And that's positive. That would help to contribute to a less volatile trading environment. That's certainly to be welcomed. US Treasuries were a little bit softer in here today, and the same with UK gilts, and German Bunds were pretty much unchanged, but they're back down to 138.5. So the sovereign bond market remains really quite firm. It's most of these futures contracts have unwound overbought conditions relative to their MAs over the last few months. They've held the majority of their advances. A number of them, such as US Treasuries or German Bunds or the Swiss 10-year, have a mild upward bias and a progression of higher reaction lows within the range. And one would have to continue to give the benefit of the doubt to a ranging upside, provided that progression of higher reaction lows remains intact. The majority of risk assets have had a remarkable start to the year. They rallied impressively all the way through January, a number of them all the way through February. A large number have encountered at least near-term resistance. Unwinds of short-term overbought conditions appear to be underway. And if the medium-term bullish hypothesis is to remain intact, then progressions of higher reaction lows that have been evident since October will need to continue to hold. The better performing markets will find support in the region of their 200-day moving averages. And the ones to watch, there's only a small number that have broken upwards to new highs since October. The Nasdaq is one of those. It's a bit overbought in the short term. A reversion towards the mean, whether that is characterized by a ranging consolidation or a swifter pullback or maybe a little bit of both, would be a healthy development. It would provide us with another risk-adjusted entry point for the index. But the Nasdaq is one of the leading markets. It's being led higher by the technology sector. And that remains a fuller money theme. But Thailand is another market that only broke upwards last week. The South African market has pulled back in the last few days, but it was also one of the first markets to break upwards. The Filipino market continues to hold its short-term progression of higher reaction lows, but it pulled back sharply in the last few days. All of those markets are susceptible to an additional pullback and consolidation, but they've got plenty of room in which to consolidate and still hold the impressive gains that we've had over the last couple of months. They represent the leadership in this cyclical bull market. They're well worth monitoring at a very minimum, because when they begin to lose their uptrend consistency, then that will be an indication that the supply-demand dynamic is beginning to change. At present, there's no reason to question the medium-term bullish hypothesis, even though there are short-term risks to the downside. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.